My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Bulldog has had to leave us. He stayed home to do the show from his attic today because he was coughing and not feeling well. And he texted me about half an hour ago. He's like, yeah, it's 90 degrees in this attic and I'm freezing. So he has left, but joining us now on the Westher Hotline, and of course, Bulldog hates to miss Ross, Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Hi, Ross.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Pretty good. You ever get sick during a broadcast?
I'm sure I have. I'm not recalling it right now, but I remember some bad situations where I didn't know if I was going to be able to make the broadcast. In fact, the first Eagles preseason game I ever did, and that was 2019, and that was like a dream job for me. And I'm going to tie this in, by the way, to the Bills' opponent Monday night. So this is like a dream gig for me. You know, I grew up a huge Eagles fan. They, you know, they give me the preseason gig on TV, whatever. I go there the day before for production meetings. And my voice is pretty dicey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I've lost my voice. And it's the middle of the summer, so it's not like a cold or anything. But my voice is dicey, so I don't really say much in the production meeting. I'm just trying to let it heal, and I say, I'll be fine tomorrow. And all I do is drink tea and honey and all the things you're supposed to do. I don't talk at all in the morning, not all in the afternoon. As I'm driving to the stadium, I pull over to Starbucks to get another medicine ball to try to keep my voice even better. And as I go to get the medicine ball, I'm like, medicine ball. I mean, like, oh, no. Nothing comes out. Nothing comes out. So I call the director, and I said, we got a problem. Like, I can't talk. And I'm, like, so embarrassed,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah.
It's my first game. And I cannot talk. So interestingly, I don't know what happened, but they told Peterson, Doug Peterson, the Jaguars head coach, was the Eagles Super Bowl winning head coach at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they told him my voice was struggling because I have to interview him pregame. And I'm telling you, like, hardly anything even came out. And he gave, usually it's 3 questions. Well, I ask him one question, he goes and goes. Then I ask him another question, he goes and goes, and the interview's over. Because there's usually at least 3 questions, 3 or 4. And afterwards, I was just like, thank you.
Yep.
And then somehow the first half, it was not great, but I got through it. And then it, like, got better to the point by the second half, my voice was great. I don't really know what that was, because usually when you have laryngitis, it's like the less you talk, the better. But this was like the more I talked, the better. And so, yes, that's the one I remember. And I'm a Doug Peterson guy for life. When I saw him before the next game, I like hugged him and said, thank you so much, because he knew I was in a bad spot and he tried to help me out.
Yeah, that's cool. I'll keep this very short because we can get into some football. My version of that story is with Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, who was on my show when I was very young. And in those days, I was getting, books, agents were sending books. That's how we had Coach K. It was because he had a book out, different people, Jim Calhoun, Patino, not just basketball coaches. There was a basketball executive, Pat Williams. And I got confused talking to Coach K, Ross, because there were so many of these happening so fast. And this Pat Williams had a story about adopting kids. That was a part of his life story. And so the thing with Coach K had gone really well. He's using my name, and I'm so full of myself. I'm so excited. And I sort of just got a little cocky at the end. And I said, by the way, before you go, did I read that you have 15 kids? Some, I don't know the number, something like that. And he was silent. And because he has no idea why I'm asking him that. And then he goes, he paused and he goes, well, if you count the assistant manager and the trainer, and the manager, I guess it comes out to 15. Yeah. Meaning his team. And he would still have had no idea why I asked him that question, but he kind of saved me by, thinking I was asking about his basketball team. So I was always a fan of his after that. Right. Same thing as with Peterson.
Oh, that is awesome. That's a cool story. It's good to hear.
Thanks. Ross Tucker on the Wester hotline. So the Bills are 2-0. We'll get to Jacksonville, I think. But the Miami game, I mean, Russ, it is happening all over the league. The Bills get this very decisive win, and they do it with an injured Josh Allen, by the way, 139 passing yards, and he didn't even run. And this is, again, like I was looking at Justin Herbert today. He's got 274 passing yards in two games. I'm interested, of course, in your thoughts on the Bills, what, that Dolphins game meant, maybe to both teams. And then we'll get into, I hope, just what you make of what's happening in this area around the league.
Starting with the Bills-Dolphins game, as I think I was in the booth for that one on national radio. And ironically, I don't know if I told you this, but I'll be in the booth Monday back up in Buffalo. I'm doing the Bills' first three games.
Yep.
Which is just wild and awesome. Always fun. So I just felt like that was a super, super important game for the Miami Dolphins. They're playing at home on a short week against the team that's been the big dog in the division, the team that they have not been able to beat. And it just seemed like it was very, very, like, it was like now or never. And then the game happened, and it was never. I mean, interestingly, the concern in Buffalo has been about not having, like, high-end receivers. And so Miami has these two guys making $28 million a year or more or whatever. But as a result, they have, like, no depth at receiver. And so Tua has two interceptions. One bounces off a guy's chest, that nobody's ever heard of, Grant DuBose. And the other one, Robbie Anderson, who they just promoted from the practice squad that day, runs the wrong route. It's just very interesting, the dichotomy at the receiver position between the Dolphins and the Bills. Here the Bills lose Terrell Bernard, and I made the argument that with Bernard, Milano, and Taron Johnson, I mean, first of all, those are the three second-level defenders. Like, those are like the three guys that are off the ball at the second level that they're supposed to have. And also, I think a strong argument can be made that it's the Bills' three best defensive players, and they have none of them. And then these other guys just come out and all play well, and then Ingram gets the pick six, and Vaughn gets pressure, and Ed Oliver, and, it was really a credit to Brandon Bean and the depth of the roster. the way they ran the ball. I mean, just super, super impressive, and not something that I was expecting. You know, I think I picked the Bills to win, but I kind of thought if ever there was a time for the Dolphins, this would be it. And the Bills just absolutely took it to them and once again put themselves in pole position in the AFC East.
Before we get back to sort of that what's happening around the league point question, what should the Dolphins do now? I mean, that happened, of course, the Tua injury. He goes on IR today. Should they try to squeeze out a season here, or however many weeks, it's going to be at least four now with Skylar Thompson and Tyler Huntley? If it's even possible to make a bigger move, I mean, that's probably like whoever, I don't know, Russell Wilson maybe, or somebody like that. If you're Miami, is something else outside the organization at quarterback right now worth trying?
You know, I think, obviously they brought in Huntley. I think that there's not enough information there yet. And so I think they're going to, they just put two on IR.
Yeah.
So now it's at least 4 weeks of either Skylar Thompson or Snoop Huntley, which gives them, I guess, a little bit more information that it's going to be at least 4 weeks. I think you got to see what those guys can do. I kind of thought when it happened, Mike, I kind of thought, well, he's not going to play again this year. I mean, I don't know if he'll play again ever, but I really don't think he'll play again this year. And then the next thing you know, they're saying that he's going to go ahead and maybe he'll play this year or not. But I kind of thought they'd sign Tannehill. I kind of thought they would bring Ryan Tannehill back for the rest of the year and feel like they're giving their team a chance to make the playoffs. I don't know that those guys really, really feel like they have that chance with Skylar Thompson.
Right. Ross Tucker on the Wester Hotline. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog had to jump out early today, not feeling well. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Do you have thoughts on this point about the trends in the league? Passing, you know, touchdowns, yards, everything is so low, just dramatically different from especially a couple of years ago. You know, I've read different theories, one being the preseason usage and how so many star players, you know, quarterbacks are just not playing hardly at all in the preseason. That seems logical. Maybe there's other theories at work, too. I think there are. How about you? Will it continue this way?
No, I think the offenses will get better and better as they go. And so I think it's a combination of a few things, one of which is I think the preseason is part of it. I think the less practice time is part of it. There's a lot of new offensive coordinators. And always remember this, okay? If one guy screws up on offense, that play is not going to be successful. If, you know, there are plays in football on defense where theoretically 10 guys could screw up, but the other guy got a sack and the other guy made a play, you know, on defense. So defense, it's a lot easier to overcome one individual's mistake than it is on offense. And offense also needs more continuity, more chemistry to really make it work. And so you need to build that up over time of working together. And I even saw that, I mean, the Arizona Cardinals and Marvin Harrison and Kyler Murray, they did nothing in that week one game against the Bills. And then, you know, he lights up the Rams in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And I think some of that was just a little bit more time together and all that stuff. And then the other thing is, you talk to any defensive coordinators, the book is out that the two things that determine the outcome of games or have the biggest impact on the outcome of games, turnovers, which we all always knew, and then explosive plays, which maybe we didn't. And so now all of these defenses are designed to limit explosive plays, watch the highlights from 10 years ago as opposed to the highlights now. There are not a lot of 60, 50, 70-yard touchdowns. There just aren't. And so they're making you go the long way. And the issue with going the long way is, especially early in the season, there's going to be penalties. There's going to be turnovers. You know, there's going to be a negative play, and they just can't overcome it. They struggle to overcome it. So I think that's a combination of those things are the biggest reason why.
Makes sense. I've seen a couple other things, too, that I'd just like to add. One is officiating, illegal formation, illegal shift. Certain of these penalties seem like the so-called point of emphasis penalties as we get into a new season. We saw what happened to the Ravens on the first drive of the season with those illegal formation calls. So those calls are kind of really spiking this year. That might change too. I mean, the league is not going to want that to be any of this to be the narrative. And also, Ross, I mean, a number of teams and young quarterbacks are just not there yet. And that's, you know, even Caleb Williams so far, Richardson even maybe in week two. And of course, Bryce Young, quintessentially, that move gets made already here. Did they have to do that, you think, because of the rest of the team? Because obviously it's early for Carolina, for any team to bail on somebody drafted one overall.
Yeah, man, it's just changed so much, hasn't it? I mean, that never would have happened, I feel like, back in the day. But I guess on some level, you know, you get a new coach there who's trying to establish a new culture and trying to get to a point where, you know, the players trust him and believe in him and buy into what he's preaching. It's really tough when they feel like you're not giving them a chance to win, right? And I know guys are playing for money, and believe me, that was my primary motivating factor for sure, was money and trying to provide financial security or get off at least a great head start financially for my family. But it is tough to ask guys to go out there and play in football games where there's a huge threat of injury, where you're doing damage to your body every time you go out there, and to do that without any chance of the reward of winning, is that's tough.
Right. A couple of minutes left with Ross Tucker. The Eagles and their loss last night, I know you've had a lot to say about it. The end of the game strategy, the Barkley drop, the so-called field goal of death, and Kirk Cousins gets it done in Philadelphia just very easily that last drive. Kind of shocking, Ross. I don't know. Is it shocking to you? I know we've talked, a lot of people have talked about Nick Sirianni and just how he's changed coordinators, just what his footing is there. What do you think? How do you think that stands after last night?
Well, I mean, it was sort of the perfect recipe for sports talk radio in Philadelphia today, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, you had several questionable decisions. You had a star player who dropped the ball that would have won the game easily. Then you had like a totally ineffective defense on the last drive. I mean, you know, their win percentage was like a 98% win chance that they would win the game. And then they lost it. So it was bad. But I got to tell you, I'm not like that surprised. I mean, this is kind of the way a lot of NFL games go. You know, the Ravens lost at home to the Raiders. I mean, so many of these games are close games at the end where, you know, teams.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Felt like they blew it or they collapsed or whatever. You know, as soon as Saquon Barkley dropped that, I knew that it was a distinct possibility. I didn't love the decision to throw it because they have a really, really good offensive line. And it was third and three. I would have rather seen them run the ball with their quarterback or with Saquon Barkley, as opposed to what they did, which obviously didn't work. I didn't think that the I didn't think the risk was worth it for what they did, you know, at the end of that game. And so, if it worked, everybody would have said, "What a great play call!" The confidence that he showed in, you know, Hurts and Saquon, and that was phenomenal, but it didn't work, so now it's all, that was a terrible decision, blah, 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 blah.
That's how that goes. Well, I'm excited. I can tell that you are, too, to come back. I mean, you were just here, but I feel like anytime you get, the way you talk anyway, anytime you can get to a Bills game, you're excited to do it. And I plan on being out there Monday night, so I missed your party last time. Hopefully we'll connect before the game.
Yeah, let's do that, Mike. That'd be great.
Thank you, Ross. Enjoy the rest of the week.
All right, you too.
Ross Tucker on the West Her Hotline. He'll have, that's the, I think he said what, the Westwood One national call for Jaguars Bills. His appearances on WGR are brought to you in part by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. I think you do have, you know, the 3 points about what has happened in the first 2 weeks in the NFL all make sense. It's not just the preseason games either, as Ross said, like a relative lack of practice time. I mean, you know how it was in the day, guys would hit and, you know, more susceptible to injuries and other factors, but now it's just definitely less of that. So logically less prepared to just sort of be at peak going into week one. I think though, as we said, it should change. He's talking about reps and how it gets better in that way. And I just think, like, the NFL will not want everybody talking about this all year. Where did the passing volume go? Where did the numbers go? Because their quarterbacks are the stars. And if you have Josh Allen throwing for 139 yards and Mahomes throwing for 5.1 yards average depth of target, like last in the league, and Justin Herbert's numbers and other guys, that's not what the NFL wants everybody to be talking about. So what will they do about it? They'll pivot when it comes to the refs. This season started, check the numbers. We talked about this yesterday. Three times as many illegal formation penalties. You know, not exactly a drive killer like holding is. And, you know, like intentional grounding or something. But still, I mean, not nothing. Illegal shift, illegal formation. And so you'll probably see that curtailed. And it'll be explained by, well, guys adjusted. You know, maybe Ronnie Stanley of the Ravens is not going to line up wrong three times on the first drive of their next game. And, it, you know, the teams, the players will get the credit. But that's probably what the NFL has had in mind here. Just wanting to limit some of that pre-snap motion, the orbit motion, guys coming toward the line of scrimmage, with it being so sophisticated now. And I guess illegal formation is some facet of that. Better, more reps, fine-tuning in those areas, refs wanting to not throw as many flags, and then you'll get, not sure it'll be passing yards only, but then I think you'll see scoring, bounce up a little bit. The Sabres just wrapped up the Prospect Challenge. Man, a lot of people excited about Jiří Kulík in these games. I'll talk to Paul Hamilton next about him, how the Sabres played, what's to like, what maybe isn't. Peyton Krebs getting a new contract. We are, 17 days, 2 weeks from Friday, is their regular season opener, Friday afternoon from Europe. So it's not far away at all. Preseason starts this weekend. You know how it goes with hockey. The Sabres show up, couple of practices, there's the preseason. They play like every night it seems, and then regular season. But that trip to Prague means the Sabres are first up with New Jersey, and they open 2 weeks from Friday afternoon. So that's exciting. Paul Hamilton joins me next. Bulldog had to leave early, not feeling well. Thanks for listening. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Gotta love it. Paul Hamilton's appearances on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Hopefully your sponsors, Paul, enjoy ABBA covers.
Mike, should I use that as my goal song?
Oh, yeah. I mean, somebody should. Somebody should. What's old is new again. I mean, ABBA had a resurgence, and there's bound to be another one soon.
Yeah. Live from the ballpark today. I'm sitting here talking to you from the press box.
Very cool. Are you on the broadcast?
Tomorrow,
okay.
I'm scouting today.
You're taking notes, getting ready.
I always like to scout one game before I do one.
The Bison's starting pitcher today is from Slovakia.
See, I haven't even gotten that far. Well, I got here set up to talk to you, and I haven't read the notes yet.
You don't have to tell anybody that I told you. You can just sort of show off. It's his AAA.
Is it Miroslav Shatan's son?
Was Shatan from Bratislava? This pitcher is from Bratislava. I think yes. It's his AAA debut. His last name is spelled M-A-C-K-O, but I'm guessing it might be like Machko or something like that, given his, country of birth. Okay. So was it a good weekend, Paul, with these hockey games, including yesterday afternoon?
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, Lindy Ruff has a standard that he wants to set for this team. And interestingly enough, now he didn't coach them. The Rochester coach always coaches these games. But he's there and he talks to the players when they get here. And he wants to see that style of play throughout the organization. And I think he got through the young kids at least, I'll tell you that. They averaged, I know they only won one game, but they averaged like 37 shots in the three games. They got a little over anxious at passing, and they passed up a lot of opportunities, which is probably why they didn't win more. But they spent a lot of time in the offensive zone. They spent a lot of time in front of the net. They spent a lot of time winning battles along the wall. They were good coming back, and that includes Kulik. I saw Kulik get back and break up some plays too, you know, something that maybe he wasn't real good at before and things that he's worked on. And he's talked about how he's worked on getting stronger this summer, and you could see it, definitely see it, in the battles on the wall. He wasn't shying away from the battles. He was actually going in there winning them. He wasn't shying away from the net, you know, where maybe he was in the past. And, you know, he said that he can feel that he has a little bit more weight on him and stronger, but in a good way. And, you know, so of all the guys I saw, there definitely some talent there. And I see some guys like Ostlund, who I think is going to be an excellent NHL player if he plays anything like he did in this tournament. He had the puck the whole night in every game. He just needs a few things to refine and get a little bigger and stronger. But Kulik probably is the only one I saw who would have a chance to start with the Sabres this year.
And you wrote about this at our website, including Kulik seemingly aware that if he's going to make it, it's going to be as a wing. So the point you make about his performance on the walls and getting stronger. So what are his odds, Paul? We're going to have this conversation now for the next couple of weeks with camp opening tomorrow and then preseason games. Do you think, you know, the odds are good that he will make it?
Well, Lindy Ruff got his first live look at him. Of course, he's seen him on tape. And I would say probably, if you're making me guess, I would say he probably won't make it. But I would have said last year when camp started that Benson's not making the team. I would have said it, like, definitively.
Right.
And he went into training camp and showed them what he could do. And he pushed his way onto the roster, as simple as that. So Kulik could do that. They at least know of him. They've seen him in pro hockey for 2 years. I think they've seen the improvements. He had to go out there and dominate this tournament, and he did just that. He showed that he was the best player on the ice, you know, in all three games, and that's what he needed to do to show, like, all right, now I'm ready to get to the next step. But as you mentioned, I asked him, and he knows that he probably is going to have to play wing, and he said that's fine with him. He doesn't care where he plays. If it's wing, center, he said that's why he works so hard to try to get stronger in case he is on the wing and has to do a lot of battle on the walls and those type of things that maybe he didn't have to do as much at center. Because think of it, in my mind, Mike, I think there's one spot left in the top six. And, you know, if you're just going to go with somebody on the roster, it's either going to be Benson, Zucker, or Greenway. All right. Is Benson going to really improve his second year? Maybe. He was a goal scorer in junior, and I think as he gets more used to the NHL and he gets bigger, I think he can be a goal scorer in the National Hockey League. But is he ready for that role? Zucker, a couple of years ago, scored a bunch of goals with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Is he ready, still able to do that now? You know, so to me, there's a job there. If Kulik comes in and really shows that he's ready to play and pushes his way on the roster, because there's no sense putting Kulik on a line like with Lafferty and Malenstein. That wastes time. You might as well put him in Rochester. If Kulik's going to make the team, I think he needs to be in your top six. And so I think he has a chance to, and he's better do it quick because there's only three camp days before they go to the 3 days of training camp, and then you have a few preseason games, and then off to Germany they go. So and they can take 27 players to Germany. The roster is still 23, but they're allowed to take 27. So I would think Kulik at least will go on the trip. Whether he makes the team or not, we'll have to wait and see.
I am not yet into enough of a hockey shape here where Lafferty and Malenstein doesn't sound like a firm or like the guys in the Muppet Show in the balcony. I'll get there, Paul, but it's still summer over here.
It does sound like a law firm. It does sound like a law firm.
I wouldn't want to butt into those two guys either. Like, you know, I like how that stacks up for Kulik. We'll see what happens as you laid it all out. Peyton Krebs, the particular news today, getting a new contract from the Sabres. Anything interesting or surprising about that? And what's his role?
No, that's the good question. You know, what's Lindy Ruff going to do with him? Because I think he was thoroughly confused under Don Granato. I don't think he knew what he was supposed to do. Is he a checking forward? Is he a two-way forward? Is he a guy that can play in the top six? So it's kind of a fresh start from him. But when I look at my depth chart, now my depth chart is not Lindy Ruff's depth chart. He is number 13 on the forward list, which means if we're playing tomorrow, he would not dress in my lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Lindy Ruff might think differently. And are you going to go through training camp and have no injuries? Probably not. I think that's a stretch. So all they would need is one forward injury, and that would put Krebs in the lineup anyway. So it'll be interesting what kind of a role Lindy Ruff has for Peyton Krebs and what he envisions for him.
Paul Hamilton on the West Her Hotline. Camp tomorrow, Saturday preseason. You already did it. Off to Europe after that. 2 weeks from Friday in the afternoon is the opener with the Devils. I have said, you know, there's a lot to like with the Sabres. They're young. Maybe they could have spent some money. But anyway, new scoreboard, new roof. You know, there's always things to look forward to. Maybe Kulik. I'm nostalgic about Lindy, right? Like, what matters most is if he is successful in bringing out the best from this young team. But when I go to my first game, whether that's opening night against LA or a different game, I think I'm going to have a smile on my face thinking about that he's back there.
Yeah, I'm not. I know a lot of folks that I read are all up in arms because the Sabres are $8 million under the cap. I don't think that's a big deal. Tell me who the players are. Now, if we find out that the Sabres turned down a good player because they didn't want to spend the money, that's a whole different ball game. But I'm not convinced that happened, that there was a player there they could have grabbed. And they said, nah, we're going to stay $8 million under the cap because that's what we want to do because we're cheap type of a thing. And so to me, it's the players that you have. I really don't care how much money they're under the cap. $8 million to me is not that much. You've got four key players you need to sign next year. Now, the cap probably will go up next year. How much? Who knows? You know, but you got to sign Paterka, Quinn, Levi. And I'm missing one off the top of my head, and I'm sorry. There's four of them. Oh,
Byram?
Yes, him. So,
bam.
Those are four guys that you're going to have to spend a little bit of money on. So, again, I think you'll have more cap space because I think the cap will go up somewhat. And some of the guys are on one-year contracts. But just to sit there and go out and get eight more players at $1 million each just so you're up against the cap, I just don't see the point of that.
You don't need that. Very good, Paul. Enjoy the Bisons and their Slovakian starting pitcher. And we'll talk again soon. Probably tomorrow, right?
Yes,
I mean,
practice. Thank you for telling me that.
Oh, of course. Anything you need to know. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, we'll be there bright and early at 8 a.m. tomorrow.
Okay, good. Cool. Thanks again.
So, yep.
Paul Hamilton down at the ballpark. The Bisons opening their final homestand of the season tonight. You know, who are those guys? It could be a lot of guys, and I don't know either for sure that the Sabres begged off, but I choose to be skeptical when it comes to them. And Nick Ehlers is always rumored, you know, that's one guy that would be a trade, I think, but Line A was not as interesting to me. And then there are the players potentially that you never even hear about as possibilities, but yeah, I don't think it's great. We'll come back after a short break. Bulldog had to leave early, not feeling well. This is Mike Shope on WGR. Just a minute here. Bulldog had to bail early, not feeling well. So good luck to him. Hoping to have him back tomorrow. Just because he's not here, I got to cram in a fantasy mention. Hopefully your teams are 2-0, unless we play against each other. What can you be doing right now? Especially if you're 2-0 or looking good, trying to get Christian McCaffrey, trying to get maybe Joe Mixon, maybe even Pacheco, but that's a longer-term injury. Debo is now going to be out. A.J. Brown is going to be out again, it seems. Perhaps even Justin Jefferson. Those are tougher. Those are short-term injuries, shorter, and I don't know. Like it isn't going to be quite as easy. There are plenty of people, though, that play fantasy football that if they start 0-2 and McCaffrey was their first overall pick, you know, because he usually was, and they're losing, you know, they got to do something. So I think like week three, week four, midweek before we get into Thursday night lineups and stuff, or even waivers, this is like today is that day to check your league, check the standings, and what do the teams at the bottom of the standings look like? Who do they need? What do they need to do? You're not trading for Jordan Mason, probably, although somebody could feel like McCaffrey's return is imminent and just give him away. It's better, in my mind, to go after the guys who teams that drafted them can't afford to just have sit on their bench while their season, you know, is getting away from them. That, I think, is the play. Earlier, Bulldog and I talked to Trista Crick, which is always a pleasure. Have that conversation for you next. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.